With 50-plus years of combined produce, supply chain, entrepreneurial, and business experience, Craig Slade and Ed Bertad discuss the impacts of fresh produce on their lives and health. This podcast is a casual conversation between two friends just trying to get better. This is The Fresh Cred.
This next guest, you know, is really... has to be, we owe this guest as much thanks as we owe anybody, because these chairs that we're sitting in are thanks to Lauren, and we really appreciate it. So we have Lauren M. Scott here. She is Chief Strategy Officer, or as we stay in Texas, or at least some of us that are bushes, Strategy Officer. So Chief Strategy or Strategy Officer, depends on how you want to go with it, for IFPA. And again, thank you to the IFPA for having us. Lauren, thank you for helping us get here. How are you?
I'm doing very well. My pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you for sure. So, all right. So Ed and I have been kind of balled up in here, you know, going away with some great interviews, taking it around, bringing the audience along with the show. They want to know, how is the show going?
The show's going great. Mm-hmm. So for those who've had an opportunity to come to a trade show, because not everybody that listens has been to a trade show. So just to give you a sense of what it is, it's the industry coming together, both friend and foe,
right,
in different categories, bringing their wares to display for buyers to come and to taste and to sample and to talk business. But probably more than any other industry, the produce industry loves to get together and to connect. We were just here 2 weeks ago.
Yes, we were. I saw you here.
Exactly. Saw you here. Same building, same place. And
we don't really need to change the venue at all. It just we just like to get together.
Exactly.
It doesn't really matter.
The industry, that it loves to get together, and it's different conversations,
yeah,
because this is focused on food service. As you know, and you may have talked about earlier, the food service across many of the segments has, mm-hmm, was really devastated with the pandemic and coming back, which is great to see in a lot of segments. But the resiliency of both the produce industry and the food service industry, when we talk about food service, it's restaurants, it's hotels, it's schools, it's prisons.
Yeah.
Any place besides where you buy at retail is considered food service. So lots of buyers on the floor. I mean, I know Siobhan is tracking down all the numbers, but record buyer numbers and record attendees for this
awesome
show.
Awesome. Yeah, that is fabulous. You know, I have seen the just amazing. I was here last year, I guess. That was probably for IFPA or OPMA. That was the first show, I believe, back for you guys, right? So I was here last year. And, of course, it was a scaled down in terms of timing. I think it was 1 day versus a day and a half or 2 days. Which is this, a little bit back normal. I've been coming to the show for a long time. In fact, you know, we had Joe on last week. And
41 years, you said.
Yeah, which is blew me away.
Yeah.
So, but it's great to see. And then you're telling me you guys record numbers after 41 years, you're going to break it after the pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, we broke it before we opened the doors of the building. So I know that for sure. What the final number is, we're waiting to see, because there's been a surge, because, you know, the word starts to get out. Because, like I said, the produce industry, they love to get together, let alone miss something, let alone miss an opportunity to get in front of a buyer. So, because there's so many people in the produce industry that are even here locally, you could do on-site registration. And there's just a trend now in the pandemic that people are registering for things later and, mm-hmm, later, mm-hmm, not just in our industry. So, but it's great to not just see people, but hear the conversation and see business being done, because ultimately we're here to serve the consumer and get great product and fresh product into the consumer's hand, particularly in food service, when it's a lot about the preparation and what's the product and how to maximize the flavor. So it's,
yeah,
exciting to see.
That is exciting. But, you know, I've got to know, though, right? So everybody here in this business, you know, they've got a story and how they got here, right? And it's usually some circuitous path that people take to find their way here. But I'm just curious, what's your story? How do you get to produce?
So the moral of the story is never not go to the after party. That's the moral of the story of how
I
got
that
here. Yeah. So I'll tell you how I got here. So we were at the going away party of my boss. I used to work for PepsiCo, and then I worked for Diageo, which is the out of the UK. It's a global company.
Okay.
And I worked on the global Smirnoff business.
Ooh,
so
hey.
Yeah, exactly. Hello.
Yeah, I was gonna say, man.
Yeah. So our boss was going back to Australia. We were at in New York City, and we were at the party, and a woman that used to work with, she had already left the company, and she said, "Hey, like, I have babysitting coverage." I said, "Yeah, I do too." So it's like, "All right, let's go to the after party." So we went to employees only, I think, which is downtown. And so she just happened to ask me.
So downtown, where
oh, in Manhattan.
Manhattan,
yes.
Okay, so you're in New York.
Yes, I'm in New York in the city. And so she says, "Well, what do you think that you want to do next?" And I said, "Well, you know, I love working here. We're working with different countries, so I want to do something that's global. And I want to consult, but I don't want to be a consultant. And I want to stay in consumer products, and I want to do marketing, but I love to do strategy." I mean, it's just kind of was rambling, really, and telling her these things. So I was for people who know, I was commuting on the Metro North back home, and she sent me an email. She said, "I just got the most random job for this trade association," and she went to Dartmouth. So somehow I got on like the Dartmouth MBA website or something. Yeah. She said, "But it's exactly what you described last night."
Wow.
And I read the job description, and I said, "This is exactly what I described." I mean, it was crazy. So I'm a big person of, you know, you put stuff in the universe. I'm a big believer in the higher power. There's no way that wasn't at play.
Speak it into existence.
Exactly. So the lesson is always go to the after party.
Okay.
Number one. And number
Mark
two,
and
yes.
Ed, no more judgment.
I don't
when
have
I,
to write that.
When
no,
I go to I the after party, when I go, I don't need you judging me. I'm going with Lauren's recommendation. I'll just say, Lauren said go. All right, so
yes.
Continue on, but
yes.
Always go to the after party.
Always go to the after party, yeah. And number two, put things out in the universe.
Yeah?
Because you never know when somebody can help you. It's really, if you think about it, I wasn't trying to network, but that's really what it is, and that's a lot what's happening here, is that people are putting out their wares and their ideas and their visions out in the universe, and there's a vulnerability, you could say, to that. But people who do that end up being successful and having opportunities.
Yeah, and I just mine is, and it's probably some quote I read somewhere, but I call it mine anyway. But it's like, you know,
that's called plagiarism.
If it's actually somebody's quote, maybe okay. It's not. But I mean, my philosophy is like, just get out there. You never know what's going to happen.
Yes,
right. Just get out there. Right. Don't you know that's the whole thing is. Whatever. So anyway, but that's
how I got here.
That, and you know, and that speaks again, that feeds right into kind of the us and the podcast and what we're trying to do, right? You know, we certainly are produce focused and based, and that's what we do every day. But what you're talking about, right, is that's how, you know, for people listening, and how do you inspire? And, you know, this show is about, like, your story, talking about that after party and that conversation with your friend and putting it out in the air. That's how you change your life, right, and make a difference, and how it affected you. And it's a philosophy that you subscribe. And no doubt you've been successful.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, so
well,
for sure.
That word vulnerability, which, you know, is really without, you know, getting out of your comfort zone. You know, it's hard to get ahead or to move on to the next stage in your life. And I mean, I think that that word actually means a lot. And so that's pretty impactful.
So what year did you join AFPA?
2016.
And you really didn't have any produce history at all. Did you grow up in New York or?
In New Jersey.
New Jersey,
yes.
So close by.
Close by, and my dad had a little plot in the backyard.
Ah, you did know? Have some
so,
farming background.
Yes, I mean, yes, exactly. I think I dug a hole or two. But it was in his my dad's from Florida, mm-hmm. So his family always had gardens. So, like, you know, gardening and fresh produce was just part of life. And so, like, the best part, and it was in New Jersey, you could get the Jersey tomato in the backyard, and I remember just picking it off the ground, mm-hmm. I mean, off the vine, and just eating it right there. I mean, there's really nothing better. So it was always part of the life, fresh fruit and vegetable. Like, my mom would take me to the fruit stand that was in New Jersey. So it was a lot of what we talked about here at this conference, is that exposure to children early of eating fruits and vegetables and getting it on the palate is important.
Yeah.
So, you'll appreciate this. So I love New Orleans. Like, aside from like New York and Paris, one of my favorite cities is New Orleans. So I went down there and I said, you know, I love the food. I said, but good Lord, you can't get a vegetable down here, like, you know, to save your life. And I have a friend who said, like, you're the only person I ever heard this talk about, like, where's the fruits and vegetables? I mean, it's true. I know it's, I know it's all in the food. But it just was, so that's what attracted me to the category, because that made the job appealing.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, we, you know, and Ed and I talk about this, but, and just about everybody that's in this space, it's like, yeah, it's great to be in a space where what, you know, the people you love, you know, so there's some great people in this business, you know, the energy of the business is great, but at the end of the day, you know, we're selling something that's truly good for people. We're selling, you know, we talked about this earlier with one of the guests, it's like, we're selling the most efficient energy.
Yes.
That consumers can consume, right? I mean, we've got the highest bang for your buck on a, you know, pound-for-pound basis on a caloric return,
yes.
Right? You're going to get the best and most efficient caloric return by the stuff that we do.
So. And it's the variety as well, which I think is which is amazing. And the versatility. I mean, think about a product and how in regions in the country around the world, how it can be prepared and cooked in so many different ways. So I have a philosophy of that if you have a product, a produce product or a fruit, it's don't say you don't like it, to say I haven't discovered how I like it.
Yeah.
Because it's very different.
That's a good. Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Maybe something Mason could consider that fish jelly. Maybe he
found how he likes his watermelon, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Liquefied. I like it too.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, for sure. So well, you know, there's have either one of you guys tried the watermelon with mustard?
No.
Oh, my gosh. So y'all haven't seen – and, okay, so everybody pretty much knows. Anybody that pays attention to shows knows social media is not really something – I do LinkedIn. That's the extent of my social media. But I was – in fact, you know what? I was at the IFPA conference in Schlumberg, right? Schlumberg's what was that? The retail conference.
Retail conference,
yeah. And when somebody was there was talking, and, yeah, apparently there's a YouTube video or something. Mason, you got to look this up. So this guy, and he's gone viral, puts mustard on watermelon, and people say that's the way to eat watermelon. Put a little mustard on there.
Well, I could see how that could work, because salt on watermelon obviously works.
Yes,
but if you've ever had watermelon and feta together, have you ever had that?
No, I've not. No, that's a...
Oh, okay. You got to try the watermelon feta on arugula.
Ooh.
It's delicious.
What about blue cheese? That might be good.
I think blue cheese would work, too.
Well, I've talked about this on another podcast, but
what's that?
The Meyer lemon juice and ginger.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Over watermelon. It's out of this world.
Yes.
Yeah, you gotta hook me up with some of that. Just like you did that Black Rock. Oh no, you didn't do that or
no.
Yeah. So nothing.
You're gonna get a big basket for Christmas.
I'm not getting
all
you
of my
you
favorite
told me
things.
That last year. We were gonna do that last year and I'm still waiting on my basket.
Well,
mark it down.
I have another chance to drive satisfaction.
So all right, enough about you. So with you in the produce business, been doing this as the strategy officer, I believe, you know, and you and I came to know each other actually through this, so this is not a guess, the South by Southwest. So
yes.
Tell me a little bit about the origin of that and how that came to be and how all of a sudden produce is now getting in at South by Southwest.
It produced in floral. I'd be remiss if I didn't
mention
floral's activation. Well, it came from a big brand. So I had worked at, like I said, at PepsiCo and Diageo prior, and they had been going to South by Southwest for years. It's the place where culture happens, and big brands start to do a lot of activation in that space. So, again, going back to the job description and what the association was looking to do to help originally was focusing on how do we better market our products. But my philosophy is that we as an industry have to also be relevant in culture.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're relevant in culture, then people are open to what products you have, and it's the entryway to not only into somebody's head of why I should eat something, but into their heart and to make it a lifestyle. So I give Kathy Burns credit, you know, who's the CEO of then PMA and now IFPA. I said, I have this idea. I wanted.
So you pitched it to her.
I did. I pitched it to her.
Okay.
And, you know, she could have thought of it as a boondoggle because, you know, it's like, you know, it's not like it's the cheapest thing in the world to do. But she said, go ahead. So I went and I did a recon visit. And I actually ran into the Avocados from Mexico team that were down there. And so talked to them, and I walked around. I mean, I was pretty clear, but when I walked around, I said there's absolutely an opportunity. And had a chance to connect with the right person who helped us then the next year bring the industry down. And both floral and produce, and there was no, it's an area that it was like a desert. It was very hard to get fresh food. So our space became an oasis for people who were walking up and down Rainy Street and taking in all the brands. But it, because it was so different from some of the other products, that it just attracted so much attention and so much buzz in a very organic way, no pun intended, for our products. And so I appreciate you very much so supporting, because it, you know, you're kind of taking a leap. Like, you know, Kathy took a leap, and then it then takes the members and the volunteers of the association to take the leap. And you very quickly saw.
Oh my gosh. Well, so what, you know, I'll be honest, what was disappointing for me when it first, because the first one I wasn't able to be at because I didn't even know you guys were going to be there.
Oh.
And then when I saw it, and that you were there, I was like on the phone with you. I was like, look, I need to know, you know, as soon as this comes, because we want to be involved with that. Because, yeah, I mean, are you familiar with South by Southwest?
Well, I am very familiar, but Lauren brought something up a minute ago, and I think it's worth mentioning, and I haven't been. I've never been. I, like probably many people listening, thought it was just a music festival, but we learned at an event that United had in Austin in 19 or 20. I don't remember what event it was, but the organizer, like the director or the VP of South by Southwest, spoke.
Probably at Brandstorm. I think
Brandstorm.
They went to Austin.
That's exactly what it was, Brandstorm. So I was there. So that was really interesting. And then COVID happened after that, and South by Southwest was canceled. But I came away from that meeting, from that event, understanding South by Southwest to be more like a modern-day World's Fair, so to speak, right? It's not just a music festival. Right. It's technology. It's business. It's, to your point, of brand, you know, awareness or promotion. I mean, so I'm excited to go the next time, you know, when I have an opportunity to go, because like a lot of people, I thought it was just a music festival.
Yeah, and I think that's relevant. So you know, for me, Lauren, and I don't know, you find yourself. I love trying to be somewhere where the world's going to go, right? Try to be in front of what's happening. But, you know, in this industry, we do these shows, right? And these are great. These are informative for people to come. You learn a lot. It takes us back out in business. But the thing that, you know, that I guess, that, I don't know, mission, I don't know what you call it, right? Because I'm a believer in what we do. I believe in the fact of what we're selling. And I believe we can change the world, right? I mean, that's all God's honest truth. I mean, I believe but so much of the time we spend together is talking to each other. And what are those vehicles, and how do we get past just the people in the industry, or even within the own industry, that will never come to the show or never come to any, how do we take that? So that's partly like this podcast. What we're trying to do is, and I kept trying to tell people, it's like, I think that there's consumers out there that don't work in this business that, yeah, they're not going to want to hear about, you know, some of the walk. They don't really want to know too much about squash and, you know, how we grow it. And they don't want to, you know what I'm saying? They maybe want to know how squash could help improve their life or something like that. But at the end of the day, we have a story to tell. And I see South by Southwest. And for people, you know, for folks that think it's just a music festival or haven't signed into to the IFPA and their involvement with it, I highly recommend that you take a second look at that, because that place is where the next wave of industry leaders, they're going there, right? That's where innovation's coming out of. That is the space. Right. I mean, it's a World's Fair. That's probably a pretty good, but it is culturally I mean, this is global. This is not just United States.
Right.
I mean, this is worldwide. And you find out what, you know, and we need a space there, thanks to IFPA, thanks to you for that vision, right? Because I truly believe that's a place that's given us a voice that we can communicate out that, look, we are the industry and the folks that can literally change the world.
That's right. And it's also where you can influence, because the people that are there are seeking ideas and inspiration, and they're making connections across their categories. Like you say, we come to these shows and we're in the industry, but people go to South by Southwest for those kismet opportunities of being able to run into people. And that was the first time that, I'll give you an example, where I heard about the meat alternatives, and it just really blew my mind. They're growing the meat in the petri dish, and it just seemed like, oh my gosh. But then, like 3 years later, it's just like, you know, it's in retail and it's standard. It's no big deal. And what was interesting, and I will keep the company confidential, but a company in the produce industry went participate in that presentation and had a spark of an idea for their own product. It wasn't to grow meat in a petri dish, you know, but that's how innovation is. You know, you look at one thing, but it helps, it gives you an idea for something completely different. And that made me very happy and very proud, because that's what it's about. How can you go and experience something that's different than you see every day,
right,
to both push the boundaries of what you think is possible, but also to inspire you. But then on the other side, how can we start to do that for the other people? There was a session that somebody, and you get a lot of people, there's a lot of panels also. So there's activation and there's panels. And I've heard for several years, and it's getting better, that people will talk about the industry. There was a woman that was saying, oh, you drive in California and all the fields are dry. And so I remember I spoke to our chief science officer. I said, well, she said all the fields are dry. I was like, well, of course, it's that time of year. That's what happens. But the way she was positioning it was as if the industry was doing something wrong. And then, you know, we later went up to her and said, you know, I want to ask you about what you just said, because you're giving the wrong impression. I don't think she was expecting the produce person to tell her that, but that's what we're there for. Or they'll say something like, oh, yeah, like the poor old farmers. And there was a farmer that was the audience. He's like, poor? You know what I mean? So, but it's important for us to hear what people are saying about us.
Yeah, no, for that is yeah. Again, me and you could probably do just me and you
drink the Kool-Aid here.
Yeah, you know? I was gonna say, we just do a show. Our belief of South by Southwest is what it means. But you know, we are getting up against the clock. I did want to real quickly touch on, because I think the other thing about this show, we're going to be talking with somebody that's part of the K-12 program a little later in the show, but. I think what you guys did, the effort that you're making with young school-age kids, young kids and that kind of stuff, talk real briefly about that, because that's really how we change how the consumers eat long-term, right?
It's the foundation, it's exposure. The more that you can get people, again, it's not that you don't like a produce item, you just haven't figured out how to prepare it. We have to give people an opportunity to taste it in different ways, children, a variety of products. Mm-hmm. And your body starts to change. I mean, you start to crave green vegetables. You start to crave fresh fruit. You start to appreciate the products.
Right.
And so the more that, and that's what I love with the K-12, and people are here, and they're so passionate, and they believe. And what I'm most inspired by is
I saw that passion yesterday.
Yes, you did.
I tell you what.
Oh, yeah.
He stepped on some toes.
Some toes. You know, and they came out like a hornet's nest. And I'm happy for that. And it's very similar to, I give them credit, it's very similar to South By, coming to a different type of show. They probably have a K-12 convention.
Yeah.
But they came to the this convention, and they did exactly what they said. They heard what people think about K-12.
Yep.
It was, you know, but they were also able to respond with facts and influence what other people may think. And that's the power of their presence.
Yeah. So, no, it's great to have them here. Thank you again for joining us on the show today. It's been a great pleasure. Ed, I don't know. Did you have any burning questions for Lauren?
No, I would just point out, just for the folks listening, the K-12 we're referencing are food service buyers from school districts, right? I think there are 80 of them.
And nutritionists.
Yes. That came and took part of the expo. So, yeah.
Cool.
But we're going to be talking about that more later, right?
Yeah,
we're going to have a guest.
We actually have
from
a guest.
The program.
I believe she's the director of food for Cincinnati School District. I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So, but Lauren, I don't know. Anything else from you?
I just want to say thank you for your membership.
You bet.
Thank you
Absolutely.
For volunteering, and thank you to all the IFPA members that make this possible.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. Take care.